Today, as I said, we observe the International Day of Prayer for the persecuted believers. And speaking of the Christians going through the persecution, there was one Chinese brother in Christ whose name was Watchman Nee, N-E-E, whom I highly admire. In the 1970s, while he was still imprisoned in China for his faith in Christ, someone in the West offered a ransom money for him to live free in the Western world. However, Mr. Nee chose to stay with the persecuted church in China, and he died in prison. So this morning, my sermon will heavily rely on his book, which I brought, very simple book. It's titled, Sit, Walk, and Stand. So I'm going to share with you three stories from this book, followed by a brief points. Now, as most of you know, in the past couple of Sundays, I've been preaching the sermon series on spiritual warfare. And the response from the congregation to my sermons was huge. I preached over 1,000 sermons so far. It seems to me this one tops all other sermons. That means people needed to hear this message. I'm going to just summarize, what I said in the past very briefly. First of all, I said we are the citizens of God's kingdom. That makes us automatically engaged in spiritual battles against the kingdom of Satan. These two kingdoms opposing each other in the spiritual realm. I also said that the front line of battle is not someplace else but our mind and heart. The enemy constantly assails us by throwing in our mind and heart the thoughts of deception, lies, guilt, and shame, and fear, and anxiety. And therefore, we must screen out all the thoughts coming in, such as especially destructive and negative and unclean thoughts from the devil, lest over time they become a stronghold in us, from where Satan and his minions operate to harass us, oppress, and attack us. There's one caution though. Although there are many direct assaults of Satan upon God's children, you and me, on our bodies and sometimes on our minds, of which we must take serious accounts. However, we ought not attribute to the devil some of the troubles that are the direct result of our own doing or breach of God's law. For example, if I stole something from the store and because of that, I was put into jail, I cannot blame it was, the devil who did that. It was my own doing. Here's another caution. Do not think that you are or I am ready to jump right in the spiritual battle with Satan yet. No matter how sermons are great, three sermons are never sufficient enough to make us ready for spiritual warfare. There are so many things that we need to learn. In fact, the Lord convinced and convicted me in the past week that no believer should think of entering the warfare of the ages, this spiritual warfare going on for ages, right? Without learning first the following two things. Number one, rest in Christ and in what he has done. I'm going to use the word sit. I'll explain to you later on. And the second thing we need to learn is this. Through the strength of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, to follow Jesus in a practical, holy life here on earth. I would use the word walk. Sit and walk. Okay? We need to do two things before we engage in our spiritual warfare. Mr. Watchman Nee says this, if the believer is deficient in either of these two, he will find that all the talk about spiritual warfare remains only talk. He will never know its reality. Satan can afford to ignore him for he does not count for anything. Yet the very same Christian can be made strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might by knowing the values first of his exaltation and then of his indwelling. I'm going to explain to you later. And it is with these two lessons, well and truly learned, that he comes to appreciate the third principle of the Christian life, now summed up in the word stand. So if you read one more time in today's text, you will see that at least two or three times it says stand firm, and stand against. That's what he's referring to. So these three words, sit, walk, and stand. Okay? So folks, this morning I pray that all of us will understand the first two steps, sit and walk, before we stand. And put these two into practice before we engage ourselves in spiritual battles. First one, sit. What I mean by sit is to rest on what God has done for you, for me, in Christ. Imagine this, there is a child, baby, and for the next year or two, the baby learns to crawl on the valley, and then they sit up, and then they start stand, and they walk, right? Have you ever seen a child just start from the crawling on the valley, and then all of a sudden jump and just start walking, running? No, there are certain steps. In other words, a child learns to sit first before she starts walking. Same goes with the believer in spiritual warfare. We must learn first that the secret of deliverance from sin lies not in our doing something, but rather resting. Doing nothing, but resting on what God has done. Key word is rest. You don't do anything on your part. And here's the story. There was a young man who was away from home on business for 3 years because his workplace were far away from home, but he had no other choice, go there and stay and so forth. During his absence, his wife was unfaithful to him and went off with one of his best friends. On his return home, he found he had lost his wife, his two children, and his best friend. This grief-stricken man unburdened himself to a fellow believer in Christ. Day and night for 2 solid years, my heart has been broken and full of hatred, he said. I'm a Christian, and I know I ought to forgive my wife and my friend, but though I try and try to forgive them, I simply cannot. Every day I resolve to love them, and every day I fail. What can I do about it? His friend replied, do nothing at all. What do you mean? He asked, startled. Am I to continue to hate them? So his friend explained, no, the solution of your problem lies here, that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he not only bore your sins away, but he bore you away too. When he was crucified, your old man was crucified in him, so that that unforgiving you, who simply cannot love those who have wronged you, has been taken right out of the way in his death. God has dealt with you the whole situation in the cross, and there's nothing left for you to deal with. Just say to him, Lord, I cannot love, and I give up trying, but I count on thy perfect love. I cannot forgive, but I trust thee to forgive instead of me, and to do so henceforth in me. The man sat there amazed and said, that's all so new. I feel I must do something about it. Then a moment later he added again, but what can I do? You see him keep trying to do something. And his friend says, God is waiting till you cease to do. When you cease doing, then God will begin. His friend continued on, have you ever tried to save a drowning man? If you try to save him while he has any strength left, he will clutch at you in his terror and drag you under, and both he and you will be lost. God is waiting for your store of strength to be utterly exhausted before he can deliver you. Once you have ceased to struggle, then he will do everything. God is waiting for you to despair. The young man jumped up. Brother, he said, I've seen it now. Praise God. It's all right now with me. There's nothing for me to do. He has done it all. With this radiant face, the young man went off rejoicing. The first lesson, to rest in Christ and in what he has done. Stop trying. Start believing what Christ has done for you. The second thing is walk. Once we learn to rest in Christ and in what he has done for us, then we can walk in God's standards. Folks, whenever you read the Bible, whenever you read that walk, typically means, in the Bible, living. Daily living. That's what it is. In other words, we can live out our lives in God's standards, not in those of the world. That's walk part. Let's listen to Jesus this time. Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. It seems to me nothing has done a greater damage to our Christian testimony than our trying to be right and demanding right of others. We become preoccupied with what is and what is not right. We ask ourselves, have we been justly or unjustly treated? And we think thus to vindicate our actions. But that is not our standard. The whole question for us is one of cross-bearing. That's the key word, folks. You ask me, is it right for someone to strike my cheek? I would reply, of course not. But the question is, do you only want to be right? As Christians, our standard of living can never be right or wrong, but the cross. The principle of the cross is our principle of our conduct. Praise God that he makes the sun, his sun, to shine on the evil and the good. With him, it is a question of his grace and not of right or wrong. But that is to be our standard also. Right or wrong is the principle of the Gentiles and tax collectors, the world. My life is to be governed by the principle of the cross and of the perfection of the Father. Ye therefore shall be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Here's another story for you to ponder. There was a Christian brother in South China, happened to be a farmer of the rice. How many of you have seen the rice growing on a tree? Where does rice come from? Rice paddies. What do you need to have all the time in the rice paddies? Water. If you have no water, there's no rice. Anyway, just keep that in mind. Brother in South China had a rice field in the middle of the hill. In time of drought, he used a water wheel worked by a treadmill. You know, keep on stepping on just to lift the water from the irrigation stream into his field. His neighbor had two fields below his, and one night made a breach in the dividing bank and drained off all his water. When the brother repaired the breach and pumped in more water, his neighbor did the same thing again, and this was repeated 3 or 4 times. So he consulted his brothers in Christ. I have tried to be patient and not to retaliate, he said, but is it right? After they had prayed together about it, one of them replied, "If we only try to do the right thing, surely we are very poor Christians. We have to do something more than what is right." That impressed this brother. Next morning, the farmer pumped water for the two fields below first. And in the afternoon, he pumped water for his own field. And after that, the water stayed in his field. His neighbor was so amazed at his action that he began to inquire the reason. And in course of time, he too became a Christian. The principle Christian lives by, Mr. Nee continues, is that of the conformity to Christ, meaning be like Christ in every action we take. Such a high goal, isn't it? But that's not impossible. The Christian secret is in his rest in Christ. Don't try to do anything by yourself. Let Christ do it. His power derives from his God-given position. Christ dwells in your heart and mind. Imagine a watch. How does watch goes? Not by its own power, but is moved by power outside itself. Then only will it do the work for which it was designed. Same way. In the same way, we the believers are designed to do God's work, but it's not by your own power. Let God work it in you. Do not try to work it out. Not try, but trust. Not on your own strength, but on His. And the flow of life will reveal what we truly are in Christ. And one more short story and I'll be through. And an old Japanese Christian woman was disturbed by a thief one night who had broken into her house. In her simple yet practical faith in the Lord, she cooked the man a meal and then offered him her keys. Here we go. Do whatever you want to do with my keys. The thief was chained by her action, and God spoke to him that night. Through her testimony, that man is a brother in Christ today. Isn't it amazing? Are you in a difficult situation? Is it a problem of right or wrong? Good or evil? Don't look for wisdom. Don't apply the tree of knowledge. You have Christ, and He is your wisdom from God. And the Spirit of life in Christ continually will communicate to you His standards of a right or wrong, and with them, the attitude of spirit with which the difficult situation should be met. More and more things will turn up to hurt your Christian sense of righteousness and to test what your reactions are going to be. You need to learn the principle of the cross, that your standard, mine standard, is not now the old, but the new man, which after God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth, the scripture says. May God help us to rest in His grace and in obedience start walking in His standards and in His power, not in the world's or ours. That's the preparation for spiritual warfare. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I humbly ask You to open up our hearts and grant us the desire to obey You. All these stories, all the Christians in those real stories had one thing in common, that was they wanted to obey You no matter what. And then You granted them the power that does not reside in themselves, but coming outside, from outside, the Holy Spirit. And there we go. We experience the miracle of something beyond our own imagination. Help us, Lord, to do the same. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.